everyone. And my talk today is called Becoming Nobody Special. So I heard about a dojo. I think it might have been a Zen dojo where there was a sign saying, "You are in training to be nobody special." And I just want to say at the start that this is, of course, not about being unworthy or, you know, any sort of feelings of worthlessness. But it reminded me of the name of our school, Ordinary Mind Zen, and that emphasis on the ordinary. And we sometimes joke that, you know, we might get more people along if we started calling ourselves Extraordinary Mind Zen, you know, sort of a better marketing tool. But here we are, Ordinary Mind Zen. And when I was reflecting on that saying, "You are in training to be nobody special," I thought it was what a complex thing it actually is about who we are in any particular moment, which is determined by so many factors. So the sense of self that we bring to each moment is informed by our life experience, by the choices we've made along the way, by our personality, our culture, upbringing. But even there's something called epigenetics, which is actually looking at how generations back affects who we are now. So they've found that if you had a great-grandmother or grandfather who suffered significant trauma, that can actually go down through the generations and can affect how our genes now are expressed. So that's called intergenerational trauma. And probably most of us have some family background of trauma somewhere along the way. So even something as far back as that can affect how we experience our life. And what can happen then is that the choices we make and how we live our lives can actually change that. So for instance, if we make choices to have good relationships with people and also do a lot of meditation and look after ourselves, eat good food, exercise, and that can actually change how our genes are expressed. But the family background initially can have quite a lot to do whether we have more some of the advantageous genes being expressed or some of the less advantageous ones. The other thing that happens again with our sense of self and how we experience each moment is that sense of evaluation about what is actually happening here, you know, how is it going to affect me? And this is hardwired into us because it's a survival mechanism. So if you have food in front of you, you start to judge, is this going to be something that's nourishing for me and help me feel better, or something that's potentially make me sick? And also, for instance, meeting a stranger is a really good example. So as soon as we meet someone new, we start to think, are they going to be useful to me? Perhaps they'll give me a really good job or say something really nice. Or are they actually going to be danger? It's dangerous in some way, or perhaps a new colleague, are they going to be, you know, good to work with and supportive, or are they going to start undermining me? So that sense of evaluating everything is also hardwired into us. And in Buddhism, we talk about the three poisons, which are greed, hatred, and ignorance. And so if something is occurring which is beneficial, there's a natural tendency to want more of that. So we want more of that nice food, or we want to see more and more of this nice person. If it's harmful, of course, there's a natural tendency to want to avoid it. And then if it's neutral, so it's neither going to be good for us or harmful, then we can easily start to ignore it and perhaps become mindless around it. And we don't have the capacity to pay attention to every little detail that's happening in our lives, so we become quickly overwhelmed. But we can become sort of willfully ignorant, so that sense of, if it doesn't affect me, then it doesn't concern me. Or I'd rather not actually know too much about this in case I have to, you know, change my shopping habits or something like that. So that sense of mindlessness in Buddhist point of view can also be harmful. And we have one of our sutras, the saying, conflicts between liking and disliking are a disease of the mind. So when we have an experience of the present moment, we can also find that that validates our sense of self, or it can threaten it in some way. And again, in Buddhism, we have the concept of no self. So there's no independent existing self. It's just causes and conditions. But when we, you know, going through life, we do have a sense that we need to project a certain kind of self to the environment, to people around us, and also, for instance, colleagues at work. And one of the things I found in the last 18 months, I've had basically home office, like many of us, for the last 18 months. I've had 3 days in the office. But what's happened in that time is, even though I'm still working for the same organization, there's been a lot of staff changes. I've taken on a new role. And so I'm actually working in a team where I haven't really met anyone face to face, or if I have, a couple of them, very fleeting. So I haven't actually really worked together with them face to face. And so I'm having this sense of, how do I, you know, project this professional Anya on those online meetings? And it's actually not easy to do that necessarily, because some of how we usually behave doesn't really come across well on online. So for instance, sometimes I like to make jokes and they tend to fall a bit flat when it's online. So it's kind of that sense of, you know, I can't just sit there and not say anything. That's not very professional, but also how to convey a sense of who I actually am. So there's lots of things to think about when we think about being nobody special, but still having a sort of identity in the world. But something that I find quite helpful is something called the five recollections. And that's sort of a Buddhist practice, I think perhaps more in the Theravadan tradition. But I'll just read them out. So, and it says here, the practice of the five recollections was recommended by the Buddha as a way to remember the truth of change and develop peacefulness with this truth. And so the first one is, I am of the nature to age. I have not gone beyond aging. The second one, I am of the nature to experience illness. I have not gone beyond illness. Number three, I am of the nature to die. I have not gone beyond death. And then four, all that is mine, beloved and pleasing, shall one day be parted from me, shall one day vanish. And then five is, I am the owner of my actions, heir to my actions, born of my actions, related to my actions, abide supported by my actions. Whatever action I shall do, of that action I shall be the heir. So I think these recollections are really helpful, just sort of bringing us back to that sense of the common humanity. And even though our sense of self can be quite complex at the best of times, and perhaps particularly at the moment when we are living in extended lockdowns and doing a lot of engagement online, in one way, for me, it can also be quite simple. And that's just to ask myself, do I meet each moment with that sense of warm open-heartedness, or that sense of being closed off and disengaged? So, and I think that sense of being closed off and disengaged can lead us to feeling a bit separate and perhaps feeling somehow special, so we're not actually part of common humanity. And so I'd like to finish with a poem by Emily Dickinson, which I really love. It's called I'm Nobody. So it goes like this. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. That advertise, you know. How dreary to be somebody, how public, like a frog, to tell one's name, the lifelong dune, to an admiring bog. Thank you.